really appreciate the work that was done, not only by our brethren, but many of you know that have studied that document. They borrowed a lot from the Westminster Confession as well, and we agree on a lot of those truths together with so many of our brethren. And so what I thought I would do is continue on in our series of the Articles of Faith. And many of the articles that we've already preached about are mentioned in the London Confession. But there are some details in the London Confession that aren't in our Articles of Faith, but they're really important to us as children of God. And so I'm going to go through and pick out ones that I think are the most pertinent for our time and our day, and teach on them and refresh our minds on those wonderful truths. And so today I'm going to preach about divine providence, or God's providence. And I appreciate so much the hymn that was chosen this morning, "God Moves in a Mysterious Way," that God is His own interpreter. I love what J.I. Packer said about divine providence. You can write this down if you want to. He said, "God's hand may often be hidden, but His rule is always absolute." And I agree with that. You know, we sing those hymns, "There is an unseen hand." We understand that there are things in God's decrees and things in the way that He carries out His decrees that we'll never understand. But that's up to God. God is His own interpreter. He's God, we're not. We're just the clay, and we don't question the potter. We just say, "Lord, like Jesus did, not my will, but Your will be done." And so I just want to kind of give you a definition of providence, maybe that you can wrap your mind around first, and then we'll dig into the scriptures about this wonderful doctrine, because it's very important, even for this time that we're going through right now. You know, why has God allowed us to experience this plague? We know that nothing in the world can happen unless God actively causes it or permittively allows it. We understand that that's a biblical truth. And so we want to understand that. We want to see that God is not hands off on our time or on our world or on this event, but that in providence, God is often very hands on and involved in the events of our lives. So here's a definition for providence. It is God's government of creation, salvation, and time. Let me repeat that. Providence is God's government of creation, salvation, and time. Let's get a biblical perspective of this wonderful truth before we move forward into other aspects of it. If you turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 1, and let me just put in a plug for Brother Jeff for his Wednesday night Bible study. He's going to be coming to us from the book of Hebrews, so maybe be reading ahead a little bit. But verse 3, if you're ever depressed or down, I almost feel that I could say this of a certainty. If you would repeat this verse, number 3, 10 times to yourself in a row, it would almost have to lift up your spirits. But it really speaks to a certain aspect of divine providence. And I think you'll pick up on it as we read it together this morning. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. "Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." My dear brothers and sisters, that's Jesus Christ. Amen. That's our Prince and our Savior. That's not someone, Brother Andy, that's out of control or not in control. He is upholding, hallelujah, all things. That's you. That's That's me. That's this preacher this morning. We are not upholding God this morning. God is upholding us. He is the sovereign being. He is the one that is in control of all of our lives and all the elements of the universe. Hallelujah. He is the brightness of the glory of God. He is the express image of His person. He is upholding all things by the word of His power. That's the providence of God. That's a biblical perspective. You know, Bette Midler, she always pick on poor old Bette. She's kind of like a punching bag for me. I ain't got anything against Bette Midler, but one of her songs that she sang that was very popular when I was young was, "God is watching us," she said, "from a distance." Well, that's the way that the worldling wants it to be. They want God to be away from us. But I want you to know that though He is the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, though He is high above us, yet also He is deep within us. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the one that you can trust in this morning, in the midst of all this turmoil, in the midst of all this chaos, that you can know that there's one at the right hand of the majesty on high, the same one that who by Himself purged our sins. He's upholding all things by the word of His power. Amen. You know, we said providence is God's government. It's God's government of creation. Who helped God in creating the world? Who said, "Made the sky blue, made the grass green"? No one has been the counsel of God. Hallelujah. He has done all His pleasure. He has done all His holy will. Like Brother Andy said, "Who can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? All the inhabitants of the world are reputed to Him as nothing." Governments before Him are nothing. Kings before Him are nothing. He is the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. And with those that be of a broken and contrite spirit, you know, our government is trying to get a hold of this virus, trying to stop the fatalities that are occurring, trying to get our economy reopened. And our government probably is the strongest and most powerful government in the world, but they've been unprepared. They've been crippled. It cannot be said so of God's government. He knows the number of the stars. He calls them out by name. Oh, beloved, know that's the God in whom you and I trust and believe in, a God of providence. His government, there will be no end. It's upon His shoulders, it said in Isaiah, that His name shall be called Wonderful, a Mighty God, an Everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace, and the government will rest upon His shoulder. I rest in Christ this morning. I rest my soul, and I fling my soul out into eternity and in this life upon the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Oh, beloved, and I call you to the same thing. Do you rejoice today in a God of providence? We're at Providence Church this morning, and we're preaching about providence. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 46. So many wonderful statements throughout this book about the providence of God, His rule that is absolute. Isaiah 46, look at 10 and 11. Who else? We'll start in verse 9. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." I say, hallelujah! Buddha is not like the God of the Bible. Allah is not like the God of this Bible. There is none like Him, none that can be compared, declaring the end from the beginning. See, God, things don't happen because God saw them in His foreknowledge and then He decreed them. Oh, no, beloved, God decreed them and that's why they come to pass. Hallelujah. Declaring from the end, from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do what? All my pleasure." He mentions a specific thing, calling a ravenous bird from the east. The man that executeth my counsel. This is our understanding that God's decrees are the first cause of all things, but also he uses secondary causes in providence to accomplish his decrees. And that's what we must understand. He said, yes, this one that I've called from the east is going to execute my counsel from a far country. But then he reaffirms that's according to his will. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have what? Purposed it. I will also do it. That's the God I believe in. That's the God of the Bible, the God of providence, the God that's in control of all the universe, of our nation, of this virus, of our lives, of the very next breath that we all breathe. Go with me also to the New Testament. We won't neglect the New Testament in this wonderful biblical perspective of God's providence. Here are the words of the one that we read about in Hebrews 1:3. You know, Hebrews 1 starts, you know, God in sundry times and in divers manners spoke to us by the prophets, which we've looked at. He said, but now in these last days, what? He has spoken to us by his Son. Hallelujah. And here is God the Son speaking in his day and in his time. And this is to the comfort of God's people. The doctrine of God's providence. Brother, it's a fearful thing to the wicked. But to the righteous, we rejoice in it. Because we know that our times are in his hand. And that he will make all things beautiful in his time. Oh, don't you rejoice in that? Listen to the words of your Savior, of your friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man at God's right hand. Matthew chapter 10, let's go to verse 29. Don't you love this? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Say, Brother Nathan, what does that have to do with providence? Well, what he's saying is that all the little birds that you see out here, that they don't light or take off into the air without it being executed by the sovereign will and power of God. That's how much God is in control and hands-on in the physical universe and in the spiritual world as well. But listen, he goes on because he wants this to hit home in our hearts and in our lives and say, well, Brother Nathan, that's fine that God takes care of the birds, but I'm not a bird. I might be losing my job. I can't go to church. I can't be around my friends and family. My life is on hold. It's okay, beloved. Trust in the Lord. He's taking care of all the sparrows, but listen to what he says. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And I've heard preachers say, you know, that takes God a little bit longer on some of us than others. He's not having a harder time counting on me as of late. Now, one thing I noticed from my first Facebook Live video, we had the camera down way too low, and it made me realize how much my hairline's receding even more than I knew. But I'm not looking at it as my hairline receding, Brother Jeff. I look at it as retreating. I look at it as a sign of cowardice. But what Brother Jerry, Uncle Jerry, dear Uncle Jerry said, he said, when you're losing your hair, he said, don't look at it as you're losing your hair. You're just gaining more face. So, but we know God is even knows the number of the hairs of our head. Isn't that beautiful? But listen how he brings it home. Fear ye not therefore. You see, the wicked should fear the Lord. They should fear this time, but the righteous should not fear. Fear ye not therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. But it just speaks there to the providence, to God's control over creation, over salvation, and over time. God's decree is the first cause. This is what the London Confession says, and we agree with it. that God's decree is the first cause of all that comes to pass. And it is immutable. It's unchangeable. Hallelujah. It is infallible. God is the only wise God. He has made no mistakes. He's never gone to plan B. Hallelujah. He's on plan A still, beloved. God's decree is the first cause of all that comes to pass. It is immutable, it is infallible, and it is sovereign. There is no luck. There is no chance, beloved. We are not being controlled by fate or chaos. No, a sovereign, omnipotent, wise, benevolent God is in control of all things. He always has been, and He always will be. Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, to that wisdom literature. We need some wisdom on this, and the Word of God provides it for us. I'm so happy this morning for you if you believe in the providence of God. You have something that your faith can really grab hold to. You've got truth to grab hold to. Beloved, your faith can't be based on your feelings or on your circumstances. It must be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, in who God is, and in the promises of God. And that's why doctrine is so important. Yes, and here is some wisdom for us. Proverbs 16, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap. But listen to the providence of God. But the whole disposing thereof is what? Is of the Lord. Hallelujah. God's decree is the first cause of all things that come to pass. And it is immutable. It is unchangeable. It is infallible. It is perfect. And it is sovereign. Yes, beloved. Now, the truth also is that there is God's decrees. But what's wonderful is God uses providence to carry out those decrees. He uses providence to fulfill His will through secondary causes. And He does this necessarily. He does this freely. And He also does it contingently. Those are big concepts to understand. But you can just look even in the circumstance of, I don't know if any of you saw on TV last night, but they played the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, which is one of my favorite movies. But, you know, that's such an amazing story of God's providence, isn't it? Here we know how the Israelites got into Egypt and they were in bondage there. That was all according to the will and plan and providence of God. And then, you know, all the Israelite babies are commanded to be killed, and Moses is hidden in this little ark, and he floats down the Nile just to the place where the princess of Egypt is bathing, and she draws up our Moses, and he's raised in Pharaoh's house as a prince, but then he becomes the deliverer and the savior of the people of God of that time. What a wonderful story of God's providence. God is working His will, His decree, through secondary causes, necessarily, freely, and also contingently, even when He wanted His people to be released. Y'all remember? It says in one place that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But it says in another place that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Here is God working through providence, through His first cause of His decree, and also through the secondary causes of His providence. And so we believe these wonderful truths about our God, and that He is in complete control of the universe and of our lives and of salvation and of time and of creation. You see, there's some misconceptions in the world about providence, about the way things are. There's fatalism, which is really what the Muslim believes, and in Islam that it's all planned out, and that God can't ever even step in and change things if He wants to. That's not true. God can step in and He can work with means or without means. God has a natural order for the circuit of the sun, but if He wants to in Joshua's day, He can make the sun stand still. Normally an axe head, if it drops into a river, beloved, it sinks to the bottom. But if God wants to make it flow for His glory, He can. Hallelujah. Yes. God is His own interpreter. He does move in mysterious ways. Sometimes it looks like a frowning providence, like the song says, but behind it, for the children of God, it is a smiling face. Hallelujah. There are many conceptions of the world. They say that providence is foreknowledge, but without control. Oh no, beloved. No, God is in complete control. They say, well, it's upholding, but without intervention. It's general oversight, but without concern for details. And you know, the worldling would like it to be that way. But the children of God don't want it that way. You know, there used to be a popular bumper sticker in the 80s. It said, God is my co-pilot. Well, that's the way the world wants it to be. You know, they want a little fire insurance. They want to be able to run to God when everything's just too big for them. But I don't want God as my co-pilot. I want God as my pilot. Hallelujah. Jesus, Savior, what? Pilot me. Amen. He is the sovereign ruler on the throne. It is His divine providence that is upholding all things by the word of His power. And so to all these misconceptions, to fatalism, to foreknowledge without control, to upholding without intervention, to general oversight without concern for details, we offer an answer from the word of God. And it's not my opinion that matters. It's not your opinion that matters. What matters is what God says about it and what God's word says about it. So let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Most all of you know where I'm going here with this. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11. Listen to the sure word of God. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after what? After the counsel of His own will. Well, hallelujah. So I know the objections today. Well, Brother Nathan, if God is in such control, if God is such a good God, then and He is, His hands are on the wheel of time and creation and of salvation, then what about the problem and presence of evil? That's the question and it's a legitimate question for us to answer. But aren't you glad that God's Word and God can answer that question? You know, one thing, when we begin to talk about the problem and presence of evil, we have to start with the biblical truth. Because if you don't start, when you begin to answer that question, if you don't start with this biblical truth, and if you aren't sure about this biblical truth, you're going to go astray, beloved. You're going to plunge into error. So you need to listen to me. You need to listen to me right now of what I'm going to say as we dive in to this important question about the problem and presence of evil. And it is this, that you must be assured in your heart, and you must know this, that God is not the author or the approver of sin. You must know that first. You must know that God created man happy and holy. He gave us a paradise to live in, and we forfeited that through the vanity of our own minds and hearts. And so did Lucifer, the star of the morning. Yes, he did. God did not make us sin. God did not make the devil lift himself up in vanity. Did God allow it? Yes, he did. Did God allow a man to sin? Yes, he did. For his own glory and his own purposes. And we're just to say, God, we can't understand it all, but we know that you did it and we just believe it. And it's what is best because you're God. And I can't question it. But I know this, that you say you hate sin. You're not the author or the approver of sin. The scriptures is clear on that. So that's where I begin with as I dive in to my understanding. Okay, so why did you permit evil? And why is there evil in the world we must understand first that God is not the author or the approver of sin. And our 1689 London Confession brethren, they made that statement sure in the article of Divine Providence. They said God is not the author or the approver of sin. Go with me to Psalm 50. Let's just look at a few scriptures. I don't want to just make that statement without having scripture on our side. Psalm 50, the Lord makes it very clear about whose fault that there's pain and evil in the world. God did allow it to come to pass, but he's not the author or the approver of it. Psalm 50, verse 21, these things hast thou done. Can we be honest about that? See, man wants to blame God instead of blame himself for the presence of sin and evil in the world. The coronavirus is in the world because of man's sin. Because of man's sin. That's why it's in the world. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Also go to 1 John. 1 John, we have a beautiful truth here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Let's understand this. For all that is in the world, these are all the problems that are in the world, all the evil, the power and the problem and presence of evil, here it all is summed up in this verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, listen to John's clear, direct statement, is not what? Of the Father, but is of the world. The truth is today, just to sum it up, God has permitted evil. God will punish evil. God brings good out of evil. Hallelujah. Sometimes he even uses evil to discipline and chasten his children. But then finally, and rejoice and hold on to this, that he will redeem his people from its power and presence forever. Hallelujah. So, what does Providence teach us? As we close this morning, well, it teaches us mainly that we're not in the grip of blind forces. No, beloved, we're not unlucky. We're not just experiencing some karma. No, beloved, everything that is falling out in our day and in our time with this plague, with this virus, God's in control of it, complete and sovereign control. We are not in the grip of blind forces. But realizing today as we close that all is divinely planned. Can you believe that? Can your heart lay hold to that? Do you not read the scriptures and all the stories of the Bible? You know, even in the book of Esther, it's so amazing. Do you know that the name of God is never even mentioned in the book of Esther? But you could see his providence, the hand of his providence. You know, his like Packer said, his hand is hidden, but his rule is absolute throughout the whole story. From, even though it was terrible for Esther to be orphaned, but then she's taken in by Mordecai. Then she's lifted up to be queen. And then her own life is in peril because of Haman. And then God wakes up the king in dreams, and he just happens to go and read the part where Mordecai saves his life, and we just see the hand of God throughout the whole story. All is divinely planned, and our response is to trust, to obey, and when we can, to rejoice. And we'll close with 2 Corinthians, the words of Paul. Paul saw so much of wonderful things from the Lord. He was given revelations that most men would only dream of. Only a few I can think of. Daniel was showed some amazing things. John the Apostle, and then the Apostle Paul. They were just shown incredible things and experienced great victory spiritually. Saw so much of God's glory. But listen to this and get a snapshot in his life and of ours, and lay hold of this as we close this message about God's providence. Listen to what he says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." There's the providence of God. Here is God working his first cause through secondary causes in providence, even using an evil thing to accomplish his will that's for his glory and our good. Even in the life of an individual, and he's confessing that he knows that this is what it is. Very similar in the life of Job. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." But here's the providence of God. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." During this coronavirus crisis, beloved, we got to lay hold of that. Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. Your providence, Lord, it's not made mistakes. You haven't made mistakes. You didn't fall asleep at the wheel and this slipped up into our lives. No, maybe America was exalted above measure. Maybe we were too lifted up in pride. He said, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Oh, beloved, I would just encourage you today to trust in the providence of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much, Lord, for your word, for the truth that is in it that we can lay hold to, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are in control of all things. Lord, help us, help our faith, Father, Father, to rest in your promises and who you are in your truth. Thank you for the man at your right hand that is upholding all things by the word of his power. And all that he is for his people. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.